You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and today's episode is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support you and your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. I hope your week is off to a good start. A few days ago, I was talking with a friend of mine, and my friend asked, "Well, I know you do a podcast on the Jets. How's that going?" And I said, "You know, not great." And the friend wanted to know what's wrong. And I said, "Well, you know, I really enjoy doing it every day. And I have some great conversations with some of the people who listen. I get emails from a lot of you, and we have really nice discussions on the New York Jets. It's just that the team is so bad. Jets are 0-5 now, and I've been through some bad Jets seasons, but I don't think I can't remember anything like this since the Rich Kotite days, because even in recent years and every year since I started this podcast, the Jets have been bad. There have at least been some good things to discuss. And there's really not much positive to talk about with the Jets right now. So I'm a little worried that it gets tiresome to listen to a podcast where there's nothing positive to talk about. But unfortunately, after you lose by 20 to Arizona when the Cardinals don't play that well, once again, there's not really much to discuss about the Jets that's good this week. And there are a few topics of conversation that I see frequently come up around the Jets franchise, and it's about one specific move. It's about the Jets should have re-signed Robbie Anderson, or they should have not let Teddy Bridgewater go. They should have built around Teddy Bridgewater instead of trading up for Sam Darnold, or they should have hired Matt Rhule. And those are just moves that deal with guys who are currently on the Carolina Panthers. I've heard people talk about how the Jets should have drafted Patrick Mahomes in 2017. You can list any number of moves that you could argue the Jets should have made. But ultimately, I think that these criticisms, unfortunately, almost kind of miss a bigger point. And it's not that the Jets have been perfect. Many of the Jets have made many mistakes. Some of those mistakes are things I just mentioned. But I almost wish you could condense the issue down to the Jets just making a poor choice here or there, the Jets missing on an evaluation. Unfortunately, I think that the issues with this franchise run deeper. I think the issue is not so much that the Jets make bad decisions. The issue is more that the Jets approach the problems in a way that makes it almost impossible for the decision to not be wrong. There are issues at the very top of the organization. This is what I would almost call a failed organization, and it starts at the very top. And on today's show, I want to talk about how we got there. And I want to give examples of some decisions that have just been approached horribly, where the process behind the decision-making has given the Jets virtually no chance of having success. And I think this will all build to a bigger point that I will get to at the end of the show. And I think that the Jets are going to need to make a big change at the top of their organization if they want to turn this thing around. But first, I want to talk about some of the bad decisions that we've seen through the years. And again, it's one thing to miss on an evaluation. It's one thing to miss on a draft pick. It's one thing to make a bad signing, maybe let a player leave you should not have allowed to leave. But I think the issues are much deeper with the Jets. Yes, can you argue the Jets should have re-signed Robbie Anderson? Absolutely. At $10 million, that move's not looking very good right now, to be honest with you. And I say that as somebody who was not, I was not the biggest Robbie Anderson fan in the world when he was here. I can't say I was super down on him. Like, I liked him. And at $10 million, I remember saying I would have paid him $10 million. But I don't think that he's succeeding with the Jets to the level he's succeeding at with the Carolina Panthers. And to me, that's the bigger issue, is that I don't think Robbie Anderson has posted for a 100-yard game so far this year if he's still with the Jets. And that's the bigger issue, is why was this guy not as productive with the Jets? And I'm not going to get necessarily into Robbie Anderson, but I'm going to talk about how the Jets approach building their team. And we're going to start. I'm going to go all the way back to the end of the 2012 season, because, again, I think this starts at the very top of the organization. An analogy I would use is, I don't know if you remember back when you were in school, but when I took tests in math, the teacher always wanted me to show my work because there was a difference between me just doing the math wrong and me approaching the problem wrong. You know, there might be a multiplication problem where I just multiply, I looked at the paper too quickly, I didn't check my work, and I just multiplied two numbers and my multiplication was wrong. It's quite different if I approach a multiplication problem and I'm trying to divide the two numbers. The first one is just a silly error that I'm not going to make again. The second one is a bigger problem because it shows I don't know how to answer this problem. And I think the Jets have not shown they have an ability how to answer this problem. And I would start all the way back at the end of the 2012 season. And I think that in many ways you can trace the organizational issues that you've seen in this franchise over and over to a decision that Woody Johnson made. And that was to fire Mike Tannenbaum, but keep Rex Ryan. And not just keep Rex Ryan, but keep Rex Ryan so without committing to him long term, so that he's coaching for his job. Because that created a situation that simply was destined for failure from the very beginning. Now, Mike Tannenbaum had some decent moments with the Jets. You know, it's funny because we look back on him, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, and we look back on how things ended. He did hit on some draft picks. He was a guy who did a lot to build the teams that went to the AFC Championship game early in the Rex Ryan era when he drafted DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold and David Harris and Darrell Revis. There were some very good moves, and there were also some good veteran signings. Tannenbaum, you know, it's very rare, and I've talked about this, it's very rare that you see a team spend big in free agency and have it actually work, but in 2008, that actually happened. The Jets were a big spending team in free agency, and they were the rare big spending team where the moves worked out because they got Alan Faneca and they got Damian Woody and they got Tony Richardson and Calvin Pace. I mean, they made a lot of good signings in 2008. They traded for Chris Jenkins, traded for Brett Favre too, which worked out for about three quarters of the season. But there were some good moves that helped the Jets for 2 to 3 years. And then things kind of fell apart. Some of the players did not develop the way you were hoping they'd be, namely Mark Sanchez. Some guys got old. And Tannenbaum became kind of short-sighted in the way he managed the cap. And by the end of 2012, Jets were in bad shape. And they got rid of Tannenbaum. But they kept Rex. And you know, Rex is a guy who is remembered fondly by the fan base and should be remembered fondly by the fan base. He had a successful start to his tenure, AFC Championship game appearances his first 2 years. But there were some real warning signs by the end of 2012. You had a lack of development of players. You've had continuing issues on the offensive side of the ball where Rex did not seem all that interested in things. The team's discipline level was not great. The team was constantly looking unprepared for games. And at the time, I felt like you could have made the decision either way. And I do think that there still was a way the Jets could have kept Rex Ryan without it becoming the issue it became. But unfortunately, what the Jets did, the Jets tried to have the best of all worlds, is they got rid of Tannenbaum and they tried to keep Rex, but they didn't want to commit to Rex. You know, you either had to get rid of Rex and just start clean, start fresh, let somebody come in and hire their own guy as head coach, or you had to give Tannenbaum and Rex one more year. Or, and this would not have been a great idea, but it still would have been better than what the Jets chose, commit to Rex long-term with a new GM and tell them they both have a couple years to build this thing up. Instead, what the Jets did was they created a situation where Rex Ryan had to win in the short term. But they were bringing in a general manager who could not hire his own coach and who was probably going to have a long-term view that clashed with Rex's. And when you do that, when you don't let the general manager hire his own coach, it really narrows the field of general manager candidates you can get because there are lots of guys who say, and when you're a general manager in the NFL, it's not like being a coach. So a lot of coaches get two chances, three chances. You only get one chance as a general manager. So you have to be very picky about the job you take. Lots of guys who were general manager prospects at the time probably saw that. And they said, well, I want to bring in my own coach. If the Jets aren't going to let me do that, I'm not going to become the Jets general manager. I'm not going to interview for the job. I'm not going to take the job. So the Jets ended up with John Idzik, and Idzik, I think in retrospect, really was not up to being a general manager in the NFL. And he's the kind of guy who just did not have options. And the only chance he was going to ever have was a situation like the Jets where nobody else really wanted the job. So you got a guy who wasn't that good, but you also had a guy in Idzik who seemed to be thinking long-term. He was not under short-term pressure. and you had a coach in Rex Ryan who needed to win immediately. So what you did was you created distrust within the organization, and you created conflicting agendas, and then you saw, I mean, during especially the second year the two of them worked together, where Rex clearly was on his way out, you saw these anonymous quotes being placed in the media, which caused greater problems. And I mean, it just was an ugly situation. You got a guy who wasn't good, wasn't really equipped to be a general manager in this league. You had a head coach who really was not in a, put in the position where he could save his job. He was essentially was, you were keeping him around just to fire him, essentially. And he created distrust. And in an organization, you need to have guys on the same page. You need to have the head coach communicating directly with the general manager and trusting the general manager is going to be able to get him the players he wants. The Jets created a situation there that simply could not work. And that was the result. And this was a situation where the general manager hire failed because the Jets went about it with a process that was destined for failure. And there are other examples I'm going to give you ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. RockAuto.com's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us, box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Over the last few years, I've heard a number of Jets fans express frustration that the team passed on Patrick Mahomes in the 2017 draft. And Mahomes, of course, has gone on to be probably the best quarterback in the NFL. If not, then certainly in the discussion, won the Super Bowl last year, rewriting the record books in Kansas City. And the Jets passed on him, and instead they traded 3 second-round picks to move up in the draft in 2018 for Sam Darnold. And at this point, Darnold is, you'd have to say, a question mark. And many Jets fans, again, wonder what would have happened if the Jets had drafted Mahomes. I would argue that the issue with Mahomes was not so much the evaluation, but again, the thought process behind it. A bad thought process leads to failure. Yeah, it's one thing to miss on multiplication, to do wrong math. It's another thing to take a multiplication problem and then divide the numbers. And I think that's what happened with the Jets. Again, you put yourself in a situation where failure is likely. And I go to an article written a few years ago in Sports Illustrated by Albert Breer in 2018. And it actually was an article I think was designed to praise Mike Maccagnan because it went through a number of years how the Jets front office operated in trying to get their franchise quarterback. But there was a key paragraph in there, and it talked about where the Jets were in January of 2017. I'm going to read it to you. The teardown's coming and everyone knows it. The Jets have franchise shifting decisions to make. One is what to do at quarterback. So Maccagnan sets out his staff for the task of breaking down not just the 2017 draft prospects such as Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and DeShone Kizer, but also those a year off like Rosen, Allen, and Darnold. The conclusion by the 2017 Senior Bowl, we're fine waiting. It isn't so much that prospects aren't great. It's more that the Jets are focused on rebuilding their locker room culture from the ground up and picking 6th overall. They like the strength of the 2017 class at other positions, so the team will sign Josh McCown and give the Christian Hackenberg experiment another year. And that, to me, shows you the error of the Jets' thinking. It's not that they missed on the prospects. They actually says, Albert Breer says that they liked some of the prospects. It's that they decided that they were just going to put off taking a quarterback, which is just something you can't do. There are not 32 quality quarterbacks in the NFL. Quarterback is always a position where supply will be less than demand because everybody demands a quarterback. Everybody needs a quarterback. Everybody wants a quarterback. Everybody doesn't have a quarterback in this league. There's never been a situation where every team has been good at quarterback. You cannot pick and choose the time you want to get a quarterback. If one's available to you and you like the quarterback, you got to take him. For me, it's not, again, like I can forgive you if you thought Patrick Mahomes wasn't good enough to take with the first round pick in 2017. To be honest with you, I had reservations. I had a lot of reservations. I don't think I would have liked it very much if the Jets took Mahomes in 2017. And I liked Sam Darnold a lot. And to be honest with you, I'm not convinced Patrick Mahomes is having this kind of success with the Jets. I'm not convinced he's having this kind of success if he doesn't go and work with Andy Reid and get put into the infrastructure of the Kansas City system with all of those talented playmakers. You know, his growth process might be very different, but that's beside the point. You know what? Even if he would have been great with the Jets, you missed the evaluation, you missed the evaluation. Even the greatest GMs in history have horrible misses on their record. I always point to Bobby Bethard, who's in the Hall of Fame. That's the general manager who drafted Ryan Leaf. He's a Hall of Famer, and even he missed. Even he picked the guy who was the biggest bust in history. It's that they did not pass on Mahomes or Deshaun Watson because they thought they were bad. That's what this article tells you. Because they felt like, we're going to wait a year to draft our quarterback. And that's the bad process part of it. I can forgive you if you miss on an evaluation. What I can't forgive is that kind of ridiculous thought process where you just think, I can choose whenever I want to draft a quarterback. If a quarterback's there, there aren't enough good quarterbacks. You don't know when the next good quarterback's going to come around. Or even if it's in a year, you may have to trade up. You may have to give up 3 second-round picks for Sam Darnold. Again, this is a situation where thought process is what destroyed the Jets more than evaluation. And the next story I want to tell is about how the Jets got the quarterback that they have, the head coach that they have right now, Adam Gase. And you know at the time that most Jets fans were not happy, myself included. Now, if I was wrong about Patrick Mahomes, I think I was right about Adam Gase, because I hated that hire at the time. I thought it was a ridiculous hire. I still do. There's been nothing to change my mind. But as much as Christopher Johnson talked about and still talks about what a great offensive mind Adam Gase is, we know that he was not their number one choice, because they were in discussions with Matt Rhule. And again, this is another situation where your thought process behind making decisions has doomed you. Because Matt Rhule himself has said that the Jets would not let him build his own coaching staff. And to me, that's just infuriating. Like, this is one thing I never understand when teams do it, is that you act like you trust the guy to be the leader of building your franchise, yet you don't trust his decision-making of who's going to work with him, who he thinks he can hire to help him build. It never makes any sense. But in the Jets' case, it's even more ridiculous, because at the time, the Jets paid all of this lip service to the idea that they were hiring the right coach for Sam Darnold. Everything's about Sam Darnold, which is not. You have to be about building your team. The young quarterback's an important part of it, but it can't only be about the quarterback. But in any event, the Jets told us that this was all about Sam Darnold. Who did Matt Rhule, when he got an NFL head coaching job with the Carolina Panthers, who did he get to run his offense? He got Joe Brady. Joe Brady, at the time he was hired, was the hottest name in football when we're talking about offensive coaches. Because he had a tremendous year at LSU, turned Joe Burrow into a Heisman Trophy winner, turned him into the number one overall pick. That's who Matt Rhule, the Jets did not trust Matt Rhule to hire a good coaching staff. Matt Rhule goes out and hires Joe Brady, the hottest name in offensive coaching on any level of football, to run his offense. Who did the Jets have running their offense? Dowell Loggins. That's who the Jets thought was a good idea to hire to develop Sam Darnold when they were focused on building around Sam Darnold. You almost wonder who they would have hired if they weren't focused around about getting Sam Darnold the right coaching, if that's who they hired when they were worried about it. Again, bad process leads to bad results. And again, it goes back to the very top with this franchise. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your walls, whether they're mental or physical, with Go every day. They're easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your back pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, for 20% off at BuiltGo, B-U-I-L-T-G-O.com. Let's go. Locked On Jets podcast, and the fourth of the four stories I'm going to tell is one that you're probably familiar with. It's what happened between the 2018 and 2019 seasons when Mike Maccagnan was allowed to stay, spend $120 million in guaranteed money in free agency, and run the draft. And only after that, the Jets fire Maccagnan. And in allowing Maccagnan to stay, they essentially let a bad general manager set the roster for 2 years. Really, it did not matter whether the Jets hired Joe Douglas or anybody else. The new general manager was not going to be able to really build his team until the 2021 offseason, the offseason that will come after this year. That's just how it goes when you allow a general manager to spend that kind of money. It really limits what they can do, what the team can do in the following offseason. And the most frustrating part of this is that when Chris Johnson announced the firing, he talked about how he did a deep dive on Maccagnan and realized Maccagnan was not doing an effective job. Your job as CEO is to figure that out before you let that guy spend $120 million and set the roster for 2 years. When you admit that you waited until after he spent the money and ran that offseason, you've just admitted you did not do your job. And that ultimately has helped put the Jets in the position they're in today. And that ultimately shows you the issues at the top of the organization. And something needs to change. And I think what needs to change is this. The Johnsons own the team. There's no reason that they have to be the CEOs, however. Chris and Woody Johnson do not need to be the CEO of this team. They don't need to run the day-to-day operations. They can continue to be the owner. They can show up at practices when they feel like it. They can go sit in the owner's box in the games. They can do events with the team. They should not be in charge of the day-to-day operations, though, because when you see this many instances where there are top-level things, where the Jets are taking such a flawed thought process that what they're doing cannot possibly work, it shows you that there's a problem at the top, that the right people are not in charge at the top. Just because you're the owner doesn't mean you need to be the CEO. It doesn't mean you need to oversee the day-to-day operations of the team. And the Jets need to get somebody in here who can, because you look at how the Jets are hiring general managers, how they're hiring coaches, the thought process that the general managers are taking that are not being corrected by the people above them in the organization. That's how you get to where the Jets are right now. There are many reasons, and some of them are just as simple as they picked the wrong players. But on too many big decisions, the Jets have approached it in a way where they made success impossible just because their thought process was so flawed. And that's something that only is allowed to happen when your CEO is failing. So I think changes need to start at the top for the Jets, for them to turn this thing around. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for our weekly mailbag.